Welcome to Run, Thrive, Survive with me, your host, Sierra Carter, the number one podcast for your healthy habits for nutrition and exercise, race reviews from special guests, and everyday motivation. And of course, you guys, surviving life together. Are you guys ready? Let's go. Hey guys, and welcome to another awesome podcast here on Run, Thrive, Survive. I am Sierra, your host, and I am here with Jeanette here on the podcast, and we are going to be talking about a little bit something different today, but we're also going to be talking about a race. I want to go ahead and let Jeanette introduce herself. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am great, and I know that we were talking about, you know, you do a lot of vacation races. So yep. Before we jump into the vacation races and the part that you play in the vacation races, I want to talk to you a little bit about your background in running. You know, okay. What do you do and how did you get into running?
Okay. So first off, I'm like a Christian believer. I'm an oncology nurse and I'm a mom of three kids. So after I had my first child, I got pretty sick. And then, so it kind of took a while to have the second and the third. And by the time I had the third child, it was difficult for me to even walk up like a flight of stairs. And I'm like, okay, I have these three kids and I need to do something for myself to kind of get, you know, healthier because obviously I want to be here and see them grow. So one of my good friends actually was into running and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate running. Like, I didn't like running in high school. Like, there's just no way. But sure enough, my birthday was coming up and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do this. And she said, oh, sure, you can come run with me. Can you be here at 5 a.m.? And I'm like, I am not a morning person, but okay, this is going to be my birthday thing. So I went out and I ran maybe like a mile and a half that day. And I couldn't even run like more than a minute. And I was like, oh, this sucks. Like, you know, but then just the motivation of trying to get, you know, healthier and being here for my kids kind of is what got me into running. And ever since then, I've just been running. So it's been, I think, four years now.
So I mean, health is a big reason that pushes everybody into running. That can be a major stressor other than maybe just life stress. But I have to ask you just when you said that you weren't even able to get up the stairs, was something going on or was it just because, you know, when you have kids, you tend to get not lazy, but you're so preoccupied with everything else. You forget to prioritize your health. So maybe was it out of shape? What was going on at that time?
Yeah. You know what? Definitely it was out of shape. Like by looking at my stature, you know, like, oh, you look so small, you gotta be fit. And I was like, I don't know about that. So I had my two kids kind of back to back, my two youngest. So one was just turning one. And then, you know, before he turned one, I was already pregnant. So they were very close in age. And so by then, you know, with weight gain and the type of job that I was doing at the time, it was like very stressful that just the flight of stairs. And I'm like, I should be able to take a flight of stairs. No problem. Like, what is wrong with me? So that was definitely a turning point.
Those small things really do tip you over the edge. Now, when you finally got into running, what kind of running did you do? Are you more of a sprinter or do you like the long distance? Were you entering races? What were you doing?
So I just, you know, so I'm part of a mom group here in town called Mothers Run This Town, or She Runs This Town. I think it's like a national brand. So I definitely, it helped me to have that support of other moms kind of going through similar, you know, journey as mine. We were all in different pace group. And I remember, you know, my friend was like, hey, come join us. Like, I'm going to go out for a run with them. And I was like, okay. So we're like, have a little Facebook group. And I said, okay, I'll be there. And then my friend backed out because of an emergency and I was already like committed. So it definitely took me out of my comfort zone and was like, you can't back out now. So I met these group ladies. They were strangers to me and it was in June. And I was like, oh, I think I've been running like 6-7 miles. No problem. You know, But then I go out there and it was so hot because I live in Arizona. So at the time it was probably at least over 100, right? And I struggled. I was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. But these ladies just kind of motivated you and just, you know, the group leader was there and kind of just hung with me. And after that, I mean, we've been like we're going to be lifelong friends, obviously, but we're such a close group of friends. And so now I used to just run once a week on Sundays. And then now we have Wednesday group runs as well. And that kind of keeps me kind of going with running and hanging out with them too.
It's amazing what a great group of people can really do for your goals, for your health, for mental health, for everything all around that. Now,
totally.
From there, you are a pacer for various vacation races or just a few? Because I know you said you've paced a
just,
go ahead.
Yeah, so just a few. So I'm part of Beast Pacing, and it's interesting because my mom group actually was part of that. And they're like, hey, are you interested? I was like, sure. So it was kind of like an interesting way how I got into it. So I'm part of Beast Pacing. You get an email, and you know, if there are things that interest you, I just sign up for it, and it's either you get chosen or you don't. So, you know, it is like an honor really to be part of that group, and even to pay. So Lake Powell was actually my first pacing gig.
Hey guys, real quick, I want to remind you what Run Thrive Survive's mission really is. While it was already on the rise over the last year, we have seen rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness skyrocket. Taking on the challenge, I believe creating habits to build mental and emotional strength can be key to reversing the statistics. That's what Run, Thrive, Survive does. I promise to provide you with motivational adventures from others, everything running and fitness tips, and habit forming strategies for success. Together, you guys, we can build a happier and healthier community so we can run our lives and not let life run us. Check it out at runthrivesurvive.com.
And so, it's such a different view.
I was going to say, Liz, I want to hear from Blake Powell from the view of a pacer, because when you go out to run a race, I mean, I'm guilty of it. You kind of, you speed up, maybe you take off really, really fast, and then you're slowing down, you're taking pictures, you're going here, you're going there. You're doing all types of things. When you are a pacer, what does a race look like to you? Especially Lake Powell. You can definitely use Lake Powell for telling us, just giving us an inside view of what a pacer's life is like when it comes to a race.
Sure. Yeah. So when I run, you know, you try to beat your own, you know, record, right? Or kind of where you're at. You have, sometimes I just run and just to hang out with my friends during a race. But this one was so different in a sense that, one, I didn't know what to expect. Like, it was my first time pacing. And you have like a pacer 101, like pretty much is your Bible that you have to follow. And you have to finish within a certain time. You can't go over like 30 minutes or 30 seconds over your like pace goal or whatnot. So I generally run around close to the 2 hour mark for a half, but this one I was running, I think it was either 2:30 or 2:45. So it was a slower pace for me, but it was so rewarding in the sense that you do get to enjoy the scenery a little bit more. And then you kind of have this like internal, you know, competition with the racers that do want to finish at that given time. So you're kind of going like this, you
going
know,
and
if you, you draw back and forth, and you, you're just a sense of a cheerleader, which I never thought I could possibly be one of those people that are like a cheerleader, you know, but it's so different when you're out there, you know, just the race environment. I think everybody's just so encouraging. And so we had a group of people. We had, I think, two ladies that didn't think, they just, one, their goal was just to finish the race. They're like, I have 4 hours. All I want to do is finish the race. We're like, oh, you got this,
absolutely.
You know, and then Right? Like, and then I think the hardest part is just getting out.
It's getting to the start line and past that first mile. First mile can be daunting.
Yeah.
Like, I got to do this 13 more times.
Exactly. Exactly. So we had like a couple of group, because you line up, right? Back then, pre-COVID, you line up based on your pacer time. And so we had like a really good solid group behind us. And you kind of get to know some of them, you interact with them. And then as you start to race, they're still kind of with you. And like you said, you kind of go back and forth. And like halfway through the race, you kind of see who's going to be with you the rest of the time. And that's kind of when you're like, all right, guys, we got this. And then you kind of, you know, egg each other on a little bit. And it was just such a neat experience. And I didn't think I made, like, because I had a co-pacer too. So I didn't think, like, what I was doing made any impact at all. But then once we finished the race and we had this group of people that ran with us, they, like, stopped us, take pictures. We're like, whoa, what? I've never experienced this, you know, like, complete strangers, like, just wanting to talk to you or take pictures like that.
Well, because like you said beforehand, you are like their cheerleaders. A lot of people who go to these races, and especially vacation races, a lot of people have never run a race before. They're out there because they're like, I can finish it, and it's in a really beautiful spot. I can do this. We can do this. So when you cross that finish line with them, they're like, you were like my personal coach. You're like my personal best running buddy this entire time, and you got me through it. Because I know when I've run with pacers beforehand, it's such a, oh, they'll take care of the pace. All I have to do is just stick with them. So, you know, that part of running is on your shoulders, like their pace, their motivation. You are carrying it the entire time, along with watching the pace, watching everything else. So when you went to Lake Powell, I was kind of given an overview of Lake Powell. What was your experience at Lake Powell itself? Like, how was the scenery? What did you do there?
Oh, man. So the scenery was beautiful. I think the Lake Powell half was just a great, if anybody was going to do their first half, it was a great run, because you have a combination of your trails. Well, it started off, I think the first 3 miles was like around a neighborhood, which was very quaint. It was nice. And then you turn around and you're like, oh my gosh, look at that view. And then you head into the trail part, which is like just 3 miles of beautiful trails. And I love the trails. So I kind of was like a little kid in a candy shop, you know, we're like, trails. And then it's just so beautiful. There's like a little dip and there's like a single track area, which you kind of, you know, single track, you kind of have to go pretty much like in front of the other, which was fine because you look around and you're like, holy moly, look at that. So it was great.
How did that look? How did that work with a pacer group when it went to the single track?
You know, you just kind of, you have to make up for those times. So like we knew moving ahead, so you kind of have to strategize. We knew moving ahead that there were going to be areas where it's going to be a little bit congested. And so my co-pacer, and she's done like a gazillion million. She's amazing. So I was pretty set up really well with, you know, with a pro, I call her. So we were like, okay, so we know there's going to be this area that's going to be single track and it's going to be congested. So we kind of have to allocate some time for that. And even though you're pacing, even that first mile, you have a little bit of jitter, so you tend to run a little bit faster anyways. And so we call it banking some time. So you bank some time, and as you get to the areas that is congested, you still have it. And then you kind of just make sure you're on pace. We get these little, I think we're spoiled. Sometimes we get these little bracelet that has like what your pace is supposed to be. And if you're at 6 mile, this is how much time should have elapsed. And so you can kind of have play. Yeah. Pretty neat.
That's a really nice, I didn't know that about with pacers, that you got little bracelets, cheat sheets. I'm guessing you run with the Garmin watches or an Apple Watch or something. Which one do you run with? Which, do they recommend a certain watch? Because I know some people, hey, this one's off, this one's good. Do they recommend one or?
No, there's not really a recommended brand. So I did a little bit of my research, and I actually run like Garmin Forerunner 735 XT. You know, I was, because you're I was going to try to get into tries as well, but that's the only reason why I bought this watch. But there's, I don't listen to music at all when I'm out running. I'm just kind of, you know, tuning into what nature has provided for me. So I know a couple of my friends wear Garmin as well and Apple, and music is very important to them. But for me, it wasn't. So that's, this watch doesn't have any like music playlist or anything like that. I can't listen to music while I run.
I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, I listen to music, but I always carry my phone. So I've never looked for a watch that really needed music. Some people love it. I think it would be distracting because I like to just watch my pace that entire time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's kind of what I thought too. And like, my arm is pretty tiny, so this watch is huge. And then I was like, oh my God, this is so huge. But I kind of got used to it by now. And I mean, it does really help out a lot when you are pacing. The other thing too I want to mention is that if you are going to get a watch, make sure you play with it before you pace, because I was like, what? I hit the wrong button, you know, and it's like, I don't know what to do now. But at least it was still tracking, which is the most important part. So
it's still tracking. It tells you your pace. You're good.
Right. Exactly. Your time is the most important thing.
Now, as a pacer, because I usually ask this if you were running the course. I mean, you ran the course, but as a pacer, because this wasn't the only race you paced, what did you learn and what did you do differently to the other races after that first one?
Definitely making sure of your time. I mean, you have to follow that little cheat sheet to the T. Well, not necessarily T, because you could bank some. You know, definitely know your course. I am so bad at preparing for courses because I like to just go out there and just run it, right? Like, I don't want to have any anxiety about elevation or, oh my gosh, it's going to be a huge hill coming up mile five. Like, I just like to go. But as a pacer, you have to be able to know those spots where you know you're going to take a little bit longer, so that you can bank some time beforehand or find some time to bank after to catch up.
Absolutely. That's always those small little important things. I'm like you. Just go out, run it and see and have fun.
Now, right, right.
As running Lake Powell, do you feel like you missed out on anything being a pacer where you could have stopped and taken pictures, or were you able to still have the full experience and still really enjoy your time out there?
You know, I think I enjoyed it much, much more as a pacer, only because of that extra responsibility or the experience that I was able to interact with fellow runners. And because it was a slower pace time that I normally would have ran, I probably would have put more pressure on me if I was running by myself and going, oh, I want to take a picture, snap, oh, I got to go, you know, my time, you know. But because it was a little bit slower pace than I normally run, I think I was able to enjoy a lot more. And definitely just being surrounded by the fellow runners too made it a better experience.
And that's the best part of every single race. Now, while you were out there, outside of pacing, outside of, you know, motivating people and being their cheerleader, what did you do at Lake Powell? Like, what activities or what would you recommend if somebody's going to go out and do this race?
Okay, so Lake Powell is in Page, Arizona, right? So it's so close to so many things. So if you're able to take off like a whole week or even longer, that would be great. I live in Arizona, so I have the luxury of going there, you know, whenever feel like it, even though it's about a 4.5-hour drive from Phoenix, and it's not a bad drive. If you were there and you have a limited amount of time, obviously, like, you can hang out by Glen Canyon, or we went through Horseshoe Bend. I guess depending on the time, too. It's so beautiful.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. If you have the time to hang out around there for a few days, depending on what the season is, you can rent a houseboat and then just kind of hang out on a houseboat by Horseshoe Bend. Yeah, totally.
How cool is my that? Friend, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. So my friend actually just did it last 2 weeks ago, a whole bunch of them rented a houseboat and had, you know, brought their kayaks or skis and things like that. It's a totally awesome experience. Around October, it might be a little bit cold. So I'm not sure that renting a houseboat and hanging out by Horseshoe Bend would be ideal, but it's still a great time to go out on a hike. So, and then there's also, so Horseshoe Bend, you know, get there early. I think you, there's like a small parking area. Then it's like a, I don't know, I think like a mile and a half maybe, hike towards where the view is at. And it's just amazing view. And, you know, you could just, I think we hung out there for at least an hour just staring at, you know, the views. It's just how amazing it is. Antelope Canyon is also nearby. So, you know, again, this was all pre-COVID. Now you kind of have to make sure that these areas are still open. I know Horseshoe Bend is still open because it's wide on open, but what was I saying? Yes, I'm sorry. So Antelope Canyon, you can only go through there with a tour guide. So just do your homework and make sure that it's open still and book early, because even before COVID, it was, yeah, you have to book like a few days, at least a week in advance, because it's just amazing. It's beautiful.
I think such a big side note to take away, like if you're planning a trip to any national park right now, that's where people want to be, because they don't want to be in crowded areas. And ironically, everybody's flocking to different national parks, national forests, Antelope Canyon, all these places that you see these beautiful pictures on social media, and they're starting to flock there as fast as you can. So you have to get there. You have to get a spot. So that's definitely an awesome point. Where did you stay while you were in Page?
Okay, so when I did this race, it was back in 2019, and it was still such a small town. Like, I kid you not, small town. We went there. My husband and I arrived, like, in, I don't know, it was, like, in the middle of the night. Not really. Late night, I guess, like, 10 o'clock or whatever, or 9. And the only thing that was open for dinner was, like, oh, look, there's Denny's. And so, you know, we ate Denny's, and it wasn't bad, you know, but now things has changed. So we actually drove through there when I, on our way to Bryce Canyon. So we went to Bryce, end of May, like Memorial Day weekend, for a race with Vacation Race.
Bryce Canyon race. Oh, I heard that was a pretty race too.
It was pretty brutal, but pretty. So we drove through Page, Arizona to get to Bryce, and that's pretty much how close it is. So if you want to have a few days to spend, you can go to Bryce Canyon, you can go to Zion, Grand Canyon, Sedona is also on the way. But there's it, like, in the 2 year time span, it grew. Like, there's all these sorts of hotel. You know, we stayed at Days Inn, and then there's another small, like, a Quality Inn hotel, but nothing major. Like, if you're looking for a 4-star, 5-star hotel, like, you're not gonna find it in Page. I'm sorry, but most runners anyways don't really care about those things, because they want to be outside. They just go to the hotel to sleep,
right, and most of them camp too, so that's another
side exactly that's funny. We stayed at the Quality Inn. It was pretty close to where you get picked up for the shuttle, because you have to take a shuttle to the start line and then the finish line. So it was pretty neat.
Pretty straightforward. Now,
and the foods.
No, go ahead. Food.
Oh, I was going to say about the food. There are places to eat there besides Denny's. There's a whole bunch of restaurants that actually popped up. We ate at like some crepe place there for breakfast. It wasn't like, it had your sweet crepes, but then it also had your savory crepes, which was, you know, great if you wanted both. And then like a little of Mexican and native influences in the foods. It was pretty good. What's happening? Canyon Crepes is what it was. Ooh. And they have like this breakfast place near around it as well that it was super busy. So we're like, okay, let's just go keep walking around and see what we can find. And we found that, and we weren't disappointed at all. And there's a little donut shop and things like that too. So we like to eat. What can I say?
Well, you're a runner. We all love to eat. So I don't blame you. That's why we run. Now, if you're somebody's going out to run this race, what one main training tip would you give them?
Train safely. Train safely. My husband actually did that. It was his first half marathon, and he kind of went through the training.
That's
like
awesome.
He trained, and then he kind of stopped and trained. So train consistently. Train safely. You know, if you're new to running, don't go out there thinking you can run 6 miles unless, you know, you've done some sort of like, you know, running activity in the past. But, you know, just be consistent with your training. I use Hal Higdon. He's got amazing, like, free online training right. guides. And so I used them for my very first one and kind of just kept using him, but then, you know, I kind of would go back in and with that training section. And he does some weightlifting. I don't really do that, or strength training. I don't do that. I just go out there. But the biggest thing is making sure that you run at least one long distance
Absolutely.
A week.
All right, you guys. So wrapping up the podcast, we're coming into the last mile rundown where I've got three questions and we're going to go ahead and ask you these three, answer them, you know, best you can, but they're all personal questions that, you know, we get to know you better. So your first question is, what is the most inspiring place you have been to, traveled to, or go to, maybe on a daily basis, maybe once in a while, or you want to go to?
Okay. So the most inspiring place that I've gone to, it was Yosemite at one point. Actually, it is still Yosemite. It's so vast, right? Like, it's one of the biggest national parks out there, and it's so beautiful. I've gone there 3 times, and each time I've gone there, there's something totally new or something that I've never seen before, and it's just a place of serenity. Half Dome is still there waiting for me to conquer or say hi to at a closer level. And so I think that's something that, in my mind, or, you know, in my opinion, has been one of the things that has been very inspiring to me. Like, you could see God's beauty in every single thing there. You know, even the birds Absolutely. That are flying a gawk at you and stuff like that, following you around because you have a snack. So it's just beautiful.
It's nature is just so glorious, and I just love Yosemite. It's like in our neighborhood, not in our neighborhood, but in America. You don't even have to go overseas for something to see that beautiful.
Exactly.
Which most people think you do, but you don't.
Yeah.
Number two, what do you do to unwind and relax your mind?
Unwind and relax my mind. Okay. So usually, I go out for a run. Like, I'll be honest. I'll go out there. You know, when it's really nice out, I live in Arizona, right? So most of our season's beautiful, except right now it's brutal and and it feels like you're in an oven. So besides that, I live in a place where there is greenery. So I feel like our neighborhood has a semblance of a nature. Actually, we have trails like not too far away. It's like half a mile away from my house. So running and just being out with nature is something that provides peace. And sometimes I get wrapped up in my thoughts and just having like that peace in my mind that I don't have to worry about, like, oh, what am I going to cook? Oh, we have to run to this game. Oh, I have to do X, Y, and Z. So like just being out there and just, you know, being able to run, right? Like,
Absolutely.
We take it so for granted, like being able to have legs to walk. And so for me to be able to just go out there and run is just a blessing. And then I play on the laptop or computer too, you know, or try to watch. I'm trying to learn Korean a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Just common phrases. So yeah. Trying to do that. So yeah.
Anything other than just working is helpful.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this last and final question really ties together the podcast because we're all here, we're all striving, we're all thriving, and some days we're just surviving, just trying to get through. How do you run your life to make sure, you know, you're in control, that you're happy, and that you're going to lead a fulfilling life?
So I always try to give grace, right? So grace could be for other people or grace for yourself. You know, when I first started running, I had this mentality of like, I can't do this, I don't know, and it's hard. And you kind of, and then I was lucky enough that I was able to wrap myself around a group of people that was very encouraging. So you have when you have those group of people, you know, you want to tend to keep them in your back pocket, but sometimes like running is an internal mindset or fight that's going in. So giving yourself grace when things are super difficult and super hard and telling yourself that it's okay, that it is difficult, that it is hard, but also pushing through that, right? Because I think we are able to push through a lot more than what we think we can handle. So, you know, what does that look like in a daily life, right? You could use that aspect for running, absolutely, but you could also use it, like, I use that right now at my work because I'm learning a new role and I'm like, I can't believe this is so hard. Like, when is it going to get easy, you know? And I just have to remind myself, like, I'm new at this. You have to give yourself some grace and it's okay to make mistakes. But you have to be able to learn from those mistakes and try not to do it again. So,
and I mean, it's just like running, it's one step at a time. You can't accomplish anything if you don't start it. You have to go to the race, you have to get there, you have to be in the middle of it, you have to be uncomfortable, you have to finish it. Same thing with just about every aspect of life. I think running is one of those great life lessons that we all should try at least a few times. I mean, I know some people, they never want to do it, but we were crazy enough to find the love for running.
Yeah, exactly. I know I didn't think I would, but here I am.
I'm right there with you. I never thought I'd be a runner either. So, Jeanette, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm sure.
Hold on. I'm wrapping it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you had a wonderful time, and I hope everybody listening learned a lot about Lake Powell. To kind of the inside world of a pacer, because it's a lot different. I also didn't know you get those little cheat sheets. That makes it a little bit easier. That was a difficult job.
It is difficult. No.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is. It really is.
No.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast today, please like and subscribe wherever you are listening to it. Hit that follow button or subscribe or download whatever the heck it says where you're listening to it, and please leave a review. Reviews do help, you know, get the podcast up in the rankings. And also head over to my Instagram at The Runpreneur and at my Facebook at Run Thrive Survive, so you never miss any more content, tips, or tricks coming out. So are there any last words that you'd like to say?
Just go out there and have fun.
Absolutely.
And see you at the next vacation race.
Absolutely. They are all... there's a lot of them coming up, so thank you guys so much. As always, I hope you go out there and run your life before life runs you. Bye, guys.